Well, boy, with the end of summertime, this technically brings us to the end of our cues from the pews, so questions that you've asked and I've attempted to answer. I'm going to take one more week for one more question because I had someone ask me about partway through the summer a question, does God ever give us more than we can handle? I'm going to try and take that on next week. Dick's laughing. I'm going to have to talk to you this week to find out. Does God give us more than you can handle? That's going to be a neat... Yeah, I'm going to ask you about that. You've had some insight on that. This morning, our question, though, is actually a multi-part question. What about tithing? Is it biblical? Is it legalistic? What is its history? Are there examples in the Bible? Is it one of God's financial principles to benefit individual people who obey his commandments? Lots of good questions there. I wonder if it comes from a teacher. Rather than address each of those questions one by one, I think that there's enough overlap there to pull them together under three headings. Is tithing biblical? Is tithing mandatory? And is tithing helpful? So that's what I want to try and talk about today. Is it biblical? Is it mandatory? Is it helpful? I think that those three questions will allow us to get at all of the ideas that are wrapped up in that big slew of questions. So let's get into it and take them on one by one. Is it biblical? Short answer, yes. Tithing is biblical. Long answer, well, it's going to be a long answer. So, right off the bat, what's a tithe? A tithe is a tenth, right? It's 10%. That's typically what we think of in terms of a tithe, giving 10% of our income. Now, that's true. That's the gist of Old Testament tithing. But in the Old Testament, there are actually three things that are called a tithe, which add up to about 23 1/3% of a person's income. So an Israelite, a good Israelite, would give three different tithes plus all of the sacrifices and offerings that were required of them under the sacrificial system, including free will offerings, which is just give up a bull. So when we talk about tithes, and I'm going to focus there rather than going into the offerings, when we talk about tithes, there's actually three. There's actually three 10% that an Israelite person would give. The first is called the Levitical tithe. The festival tithe is the second one. The third is this charitable tithe. So the first one, the Levitical tithe, is a yearly tithe that went to support the Levites. Levites, Levitical, that's where that comes from, and Leviticus comes from Levites. So this Levitical tithe was a yearly tithe, a yearly 10% that would go to support the people who worked in the tent of meeting later on in the temple. The Levites as a tribe didn't have land of their own. They didn't have an inheritance. They didn't have anything that they could make money with. And so God designated this Levitical tithe to provide for those people who didn't otherwise have any way of providing for themselves. So the tithe appears in Leviticus and Numbers. Here it is in Leviticus 27:30. God says, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the tree, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. The entire tithe of the herd and the flock, every tenth animal that passes underneath of the shepherd's rod, will be holy to the Lord." And in saying that it's holy to the Lord means that they give that tenth animal to him, but not in the sense that you would like leave out milk and cookies overnight for Santa, and then in the morning you come and they're gone. You take this animal and you bring it to the Levites and the priests. It becomes their income. So Numbers 18, verse 21, "I give to the Levites all the tithes of Israel as their inheritance in return for the work that they do while serving at the tent of meeting." They have no inheritance, they have no land of their own, and so they get as their inheritance the tithes that the Israelites present to the Lord. Now, this Levitical tithe, I think, ultimately served three purposes. Obviously, it provided for the work of ministry. Right? It provided for the Levites and the priests. Without that tithe, they would have nothing to eat. And so this served the purpose of enabling them to live and to do ministry. Second, I think that this tithe was to acknowledge where wealth came from. You know, an Israelite out in his field would go through and count out every tenth one and acknowledge, this is all God's. This one-tenth of it goes back to recognize that. You know, our painting at the back of the church as you come in, I guess the front of the church from your perspective, the back of the church from my perspective, that painting, Psalm 24, 1, it says on it, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's the idea. Everything belongs to the Lord. You've heard me probably pray about cattle on 1,000 fields and cars in 1,000 driveways. That comes from Psalm 50. I have no need of a bull from your stall or the goats from your pens, God said. Every animal of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. Ultimately, all that we have is God's. We are stewarding it. And this tenth allowed people to acknowledge that it's God's. It belongs all to him. And third, the tithe, I think, was meant to deepen faith. You know, whether you live in the Israelite time or in our time, our instinct is to think that it's our money that takes care of us. It's our money that we rely on. But this tithe is challenging them to say, wait, no, it's God you rely on. So take that tenth and put it to the side. Realize that God will provide all that you need. So, Levitical tithe. A yearly 10% given to support the Levites, given to acknowledge God's provision, given to deepen faith. Second, in addition to that, the Israelites would give a festival tithe. That's a second 10%. That money would go to fund the various religious festivals that would happen in Israel. The festival tithe was essentially a fund for a giant party with God as the host. The nitty gritty details are in Deuteronomy 12, and you can read all of them, but there's a summary in Deuteronomy 14. Verse 22, God commands, be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. Now listen. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine, and oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord, at the place he will choose as the dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. Lots going on here, but the gist of it is this. The people were to set aside a second 10%. Right? This is not the Levitical 10%. This is another 10% that you would all eat together. So it's not the Levites that are eating it, it's you that's eating it. You're taking advantage of this 10%. The whole point was to have this huge, magnificent, extravagant party so that people would learn to revere God, to honor him, to see in these parties the feasts that happened after the Exodus when God redeemed his people out of Israel, delivered them, and set them free. The festival tithe was intended to foster that sort of Exodus relationship with God, recognizing he was great. And not only that, of course, it was intended to be a celebration, right? Deuteronomy 12:18 lays it out quite clearly. That's 12:18. You get together and rejoice before the Lord your God. Every year, the whole community is to get together with 10% of their combined income and have a huge party to celebrate how good God is. Like, you thought our 150th anniversary celebration was a big deal? Imagine doing that with 10% of all our income combined. So that's the second tithe. Now, there's also a third tithe on top of those other two, and that's collected every 3 years. It's typically called a charitable tithe because it's collected for people in need. So Deuteronomy 14, verse 28, at the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns, so that the Levites, who have no inheritance of their own, and the aliens and the fatherless and the widows who live in your town may come and eat and be satisfied. And so God will bless the work of your hands. So you're thinking, wait, there's already a Levitical tithe. Why are they getting this money? The Levitical tithe goes to wherever the tent of meeting is, where they go for their, like, once in a while rotation of work. This one is for them in their towns where they live. So you've got otherwise Levites just there. You've got widows and orphans and refugees. And so God established this tithe every 3 years to support them. Obviously, this is intended to care for other people. God has a heart for people who are on the margins. He wanted to make sure that they were taken care of, especially in a time where there was no such thing as social insurance. And so this is God's way of caring for his marginalized people. So when you talk about the tithe in the Old Testament, technically you're tithing, you're talking about three different things that add up to about 23 and a third percent of your harvest each year. And there are, in the Bible, examples of tithing happening. There's a great gathering of tithes under King Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles. I won't read it, but you can see it there. And then again in Nehemiah 10:37, the Israelites pledge, we will bring a tithe of our crops into the Levites. So you see it happening. Now, that being said, in Nehemiah's day, you get the first indication that maybe they weren't that much different from us. They didn't pay the tithe all the time. And in Nehemiah, you get this report of him going to the tent of meeting and being like, wait, why is nobody here? Why is no one doing the sacrifices and praying the prayers and reading the scripture? The people hadn't brought the tithe in, and so there was nothing for the Levites to eat, so the Levites left and went out to the fields. And Nehemiah thinks, what is going on here? At the same time as he was living, there was a prophet named Malachi, who was in that same space, saw it happening. God spoke through him and said, Malachi 3 verse 7, this is probably the best known tithing reference, ever since the time of your forefathers, this is God speaking through Malachi, you have turned away from my decrees and not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Translation, innocent Israelites, what have we done? And God replies, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. And then they ask, well, how do we rob you? And God says, well, in tithes and offerings. They're not giving that tithe. They're not taking seriously their money as a way to worship God, as a way that's been ordained in the Old Testament for them to do. Here's the consequence, verse 9, you're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. So instead, God says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Why? So that the Levites can eat and do the work of ministry. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will have not enough room for it. God insists here in very covenantal language, you know, the language of blessing and cursing, that if the people keep their part in the covenant, then he will keep his. He will honor their tithes. He will bless them with abundance. That's very much in keeping with the old covenant blessings that we heard in Deuteronomy 27 and 28, blessings and cursings. And it looks as though they listened, because Nehemiah further reports that then the people smartened up and took their tithes into the storehouse. Fast forward a few hundred years into Jesus' time, you hear people talk about tithing. Jesus himself makes a reference to a self-righteous Pharisee who says, I give a tenth of all that I earn. And then there is the moment where Jesus talks to a group of Pharisees and says, woe to you who tithe on the smallest little things, but don't practice justice and mercy. So, yes, there are three tithes in the Old Testament. I get the impression that by the New Testament, they had kind of pushed it down into one-tenth. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how they got from the three tithes down to, oh, we just need to give a tenth of our earnings, which is what I gather they were doing in Jesus' time. So yes, tithing is biblical. It is very much woven into the fabric of the Old Testament. There are examples of it in the Bible. It is very much a part of the faith of the nation of Israel. Now, here's the question. Is it mandatory? is it mandatory for Christians? clearly, it was mandatory for Israel, even if they didn't always do it. But it was mandatory. Malachi talks about blessings and cursings if they don't do it. Jesus encourages the Pharisees to do it. Does that mean that is it mandatory? Does it mean that it's mandatory for us? Now, there are thoughtful believers with biblical reasons to disagree with me. My study of the Bible and my interactions with other believers lead me to this. No, tithing is not mandatory for Christians. There's a lot of reasons that I say that, but there's two really big ones that stick out to me. I posted a couple of articles kind of on both sides of this question on our Facebook page. So if you want to learn more, check that out. But two reasons that I don't think it's mandatory. First, tithing is very closely tied to the Old Covenant. It takes the blessings of the Lord. Those are the covenant blessings that God promised. And it passes a tenth of that up the line to Levites and priests who are very much a part of the Old Covenant. They are built into that institution. It is, it's clearly designed to address the circumstances of life under the Old Covenant. But Jesus' work on the cross made that covenant obsolete. I think it's telling that when Jewish believers were allowing Christians to come into, Gentiles to come into the church, they didn't demand anything more from them than to abstain from idols, abstain from eating blood, and from sexual immorality. There's no talk of tithing there as, oh, you're a Christian now? Okay, then you need to tithe. It strikes me that when Jesus inaugurated the new covenant, tithing as part of the old covenant law ceased to be binding on us. And I think that that's strengthened by the fact that there's nowhere in the New Testament that says believers have to tithe. Now, there are good people that may disagree with me on that, and I'm okay with that because I can see their point. I mean, Jesus does at one point in the New Testament say to people, you should have tithed. So Luke 11:42, for example, woe to you Pharisees, because you give to God a tenth of your mint, your rue, all sorts of garden herbs. You tithe on the most minuscule things, and yet you neglect the justice and love of God. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So yes, Jesus does there verbally encourage tithing. But who's he talking to? He's talking to Pharisees. He's talking to people under the law before the cross, and he's holding them accountable to the requirements of the old covenant. Jesus valued tithing as a part of the old covenant, but he doesn't say to his believers, you too should do this. I don't think that we can use this passage to say Jesus commanded tithing, that we must tithe. Craig Blomberg writes that that last sentence there, verse 23, doesn't imply that tithing is mandated of Christians. Merely as long as the Mosaic Covenant remains in force, all of it must be obeyed, but with discernment of its priorities. And beyond that reference that Jesus says, there is no other New Testament author who commands tithing. There's lots of talk about giving generously and sacrificially, but the tithe just never comes up. So I think that those are two big reasons that we are not mandated to tithe as believers. But here's the next question. Is tithing helpful? And the answer to that is, I think, yes. Tithing is a helpful spiritual discipline. Do you know what I mean by a spiritual discipline? It's kind of like exercise for your faith. Like, if you want to get strong physically, if you want to get healthy, if you want to look like Zach, you do push-ups, you go for runs. You do all these things, right? You put in effort in order to grow and look strong. And be strong, too. Same thing with spiritual disciplines. If you want to be healthy spiritually, there are things that you do that take effort, that pay off in the end and help you to grow. Prayer and Bible study and our corporate worship time, those are spiritual disciplines that we do in order to see our faith grow. And I think, too, that tithing is something that we can do to grow in our faith as well. Because think about it. The command to tithe is gone, but the reasons for tithing remain, don't they? When we choose to tithe, we support the work of ministry, like the Levites. We acknowledge God's ownership of all things. We deepen our faith. We foster relationship with God. We celebrate Him. We rejoice in Him. We provide for the needs of other people. Those are the purposes of the old covenant tithes. Those purposes remain in the new covenant. There is nothing like tithing that will help you in those areas. Now, hold on, you might say, if the New Testament says I don't have to give 10%, why do I have to give 10%? Why not 8? Or why not 5? Or why not 20? 23 and a third? Why not whatever I have in my pocket at the time when I go to church? That's a good question. The New Testament doesn't put a number on it, but it does say to honor God with our money. And really, the New Testament standard isn't 10%. It's give generously and sacrificially until there is no more need amongst you. It's go sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. It's not trust not in your wealth, but be rich in good deeds and generous and willing to share. The New Testament standard for giving is way more than 10%. But let's be honest. Unless we are intentional about giving sacrificially and intentionally, it's easy to not do it. Right? It's really easy to be haphazard and inconsistent with the way that we honor God with our money. It's really easy to give God whatever's left of the paycheck at the end of the month rather than making an intentional commitment to honor Him before you cash it or deposit it. As followers of Jesus, we know that for our sakes, He became, though He was rich, He became poor for us so that we might become rich in life, in eternal life. We know that through intentional financial giving, we support ministry, we grow in faith, we rejoice in God, we help other people. And the Bible does tell us that God will provide for and bless people who are intentional about honoring Him with their finances. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. I mean, that's reflected in Malachi 3, certainly. Bring it into the storehouse and I will pour out blessings. That's not just an Old Testament idea, though. It's in the New Testament, too, 2 Corinthians 9. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things at all time, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through your generosity, through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And if 10% was a number that old people, that's not what I meant to say. If 10% is a number that people under the old covenant went for, then it seems to me that that's at least a good starting point for us as people under the new covenant, right? So, yes, tithing is biblical. No, it's not mandatory. Yes, it's helpful. My goal in taking on these questions today is not to make you feel guilty if you're giving less than 10%. My goal is not to increase giving after a summertime here at the church. My goal is not to kick off a new fundraising drive. My goal is certainly not to invite you to raise enough funds to buy me a jet for ministry purposes. Did you see this in May? This guy, the televangelist, asked his followers to buy him a $54 million private jet. That will be his fourth jet. He's going to give the oldest one away to somebody else. I do want you to think about how you use your money. Are you using it intentionally, sacrificially, faithfully? Are you using it in a way that deepens your relationship with God? In a way that enables ministry, that helps other people, that allows you to rejoice in Him? Are you systematically using your money in a way that reflects what He has done for you? If you're here, I assume you've trusted God with your salvation. Will you trust Him with your wallet? If so, great. If not, I want to invite you to consider 10% as a number to aim to or jump off of as a way of honoring God with all of your life. Okay, I can't leave you with this guy. So let me put up a different picture. Derek Carr is Pro Bowl quarterback for Oakland Raiders. Recently signed the biggest contract in the NFL. Somebody's got a bigger one now. This is old news. But he says this during an interview. He had been signed to 5 years for $125 million. Not bad. He says this during an interview. The first thing I'll do is pay my tithe like I have since I was in college. Giving $700 on my scholarship check. That won't change. I'll do that. And then he was going to go and eat Chick-fil-A. And if you've had Chick-fil-A before, you know why. It's delicious. Do you know Chick-fil-A? Yes? No? It's a restaurant in the States, kind of like Wendy's, but mostly just chicken. Chick-fil-A. Got waffle fries, really good. The first thing I'll do, he says, is pay my tithe. It was awesome to watch this video of him saying that on the NFL Pro Interview YouTube channel. Yeah, I'm going to give my tithe. So listen, whether you would be giving tithing $12 million or a little less than that, God will be honored by your giving. And God will see you grow as you give. Look, let me close with Paul's counsel to the Corinthians here. 2 Corinthians 9. Really, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is what all of us should spend some time thinking in as we think about this. But Paul ultimately writes, listen, each of us should give what he's decided in his heart to give. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver. And he is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Let's pray. Father, I expect that over the last half hour, a lot of us have been thinking a lot of different things, and we've been feeling a lot of different things, some of them good, some of them challenges, some of them encouragements. God, I pray that you would come by your Holy Spirit into each of our hearts and help us to apply this message to our lives. God, I trust that as we give sacrificially and intentionally to you, you will provide for us. You will bless us. You will give us all that we need to live on and all that we need to thrive and to be generous with others in all things. God, I know for myself that tithing enables me to say, okay, I am going to trust to put this aside at the top of the check and say, God, I will trust you. And I know that you provide. God, my intention is not to make people feel guilty. I don't want to guilt trip people into giving. I don't want to be manipulative. But God, I do want us to be faithful in our giving. And I do think that tithing helps us to be faithful in that. God, I pray that you would help us as we continue to make sense of it. Help us to think about this, not in terms of what we have, but in terms of what you have already done for us and how you have promised to carry us. God, we want to do all things in our lives for your glory. And so we pray for your help in that. In Jesus' name we pray.